from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. If you need a Bible, there should be a Bible either under your seat or in the seat in front of you, and it's found on page 720. Page 720 in your Antioch Community Church Bibles, Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. Let us stand to pray and to read the word. All right, if you've got it, say amen. If you need a minute more, say, "Help me, Holy Ghost." All right, that's all right. Page 720, Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. All right, looks like we all have it. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share from the abundance of your word, which is truth. I ask that you would hide me behind your cross, that your word may go forth with power and with unction, and that lives may be changed. And I pray also that you would soften the hearts of your people, Lord, that the seed of the word would take root and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold as you give the increase. Bless your people now as we hear and study from on high. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let everyone say. Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. I think it may be also projected, but let's read it together. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for those who come to me and hear my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But those who hear my words and do not put them into practice are like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the understanding of his word. Good morning, Antioch.
Good morning.
Today's text is a well-known passage. I'm sure many of you or most of you have read it or heard sermons on it before, perhaps several times. I remember as a youngster in Sunday school learning a song about this particular passage. Anybody remember the song that says, "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down." I am seeing a lot of blank faces out there. "The rains came down and the floods came up." Y'all don't know that one? Okay. Okay. Brother Allen remembers. And there used to be gestures. "The rains came down and the floods came up. And the wise man's house stood fast. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came down, the floods came up, the foolish man's house went flat," right? Okay. I guess I'm a little older than most of y'all. But this familiar passage brings back some fond memories for me, not just because of Sunday school, but because for two summers, summers after my junior and senior year in high school at Columbus East High School, I worked for a construction company. I was a laborer on a masonry crew for residential and commercial property. The crew I worked on laid stone, brick, and blocks, but the projects during my two summers were both warehouses. These were two or three-story buildings that were built with either 8-inch or 12-inch cinder block walls. All the blocks were 16 inches long and either 8 inches or 12 inches wide. The 8-inch blocks weighed about 35 pounds apiece, and the 12-inch blocks were about 60 pounds each. Now, let me tell you, after a full day of lugging pairs of 12-inch blocks around the yard and lifting them onto scaffolds up above your head for the masons to lay, I was plumb wore out. That was hard work. That was hard work, y'all. Anybody ever work construction here? Oh, there's some folks know you're going to work, right? When they ask you to lay some blocks, you're about to go to work. But eventually, I got used to that workload, and during those long, hot, humid summer days, I actually learned to lay blocks. I also found out and learned a thing or two about how well-built structures were made, how they were put together. I saw the concrete slab that was poured anywhere from 4 inches thick to up to a foot thick as the building's foundation. Often, concrete workers laid the slab over either 3/4-inch rebar rods, long rods that were 12 to 15 feet long, or they laid it over sturdy iron mesh for additional strength where heavy equipment or heavy machinery would be used. Then the cinder blocks were cemented onto the foundation with mortar to form walls all around the perimeter of the concrete. This kind of construction resulted in buildings whose foundation and exterior walls could withstand heavy thunderstorms, floods, and even tornadoes. So those hard-working summers were very beneficial for the things that I observed and also absorbed while doing the work. Plus, I was making $15 an hour, which was good money for a teenager in 1975 and 76. Some people say it might be pretty good money today. But the most important thing I took away from that experience was this. I learned that construction work was not how I wanted to make a living. After my senior summer, I left Columbus and went to the University of Cincinnati Conservatory to study music. And since then, about the closest I've come to laying blocks was when Miles was a toddler and we were playing with 2-inch wooden blocks that had the ABCs on them. It's a little block humor. Our text is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and it's Luke's account of Jesus' renowned Sermon on the Mount, which is also recounted in Matthew chapter 5. Our Lord illustrates a strong point about the importance of obedience as he tells the gathered crowd a parable about two houses that were built on very different foundations. And this brings me to the title of this morning's message, which is A Foundation of Obedience. Say it with me, Antioch. A Foundation of Obedience. I have 3 points in exposition of the text. First point. First point is, not everyone following Jesus is a disciple. A few paragraphs prior to our text, we read, a large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal regions around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. That's Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. So, not everyone who pursued Jesus had pure motives. Some had just come to witness a great event or to see a show. Still others came solely for what they could receive from Christ, healing for their diseases and pain, to have demons cast out, or to experience his powerful message firsthand. One thing that we need to recognize and understand is that regardless of the selfish motives of those who came, Jesus still loved them enough to heal them and to cleanse them and to teach them the truth from God the Father. He still loved them enough to heal them. And the same holds true today. God still blesses all his creation, no matter their spiritual state. The Bible says, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:45. So certainly not everyone who comes through the door of this church is interested in dedicating their lives to serving Jesus Christ and to sharing his love. Some may come to hear good music and good singing. Others may come to see the good-looking women or handsome men who are in attendance. Now, don't act like y'all never seen folks who want to come to church to see who's there, right? Some of y'all may have been there at some points in your lives. They may come because mama or grandma said, you are going. And as in Jesus' day, some folks just come to see the show. They want to be entertained. Regrettably, too many churches are far more concerned with providing a circus atmosphere with colorful flag waving and carnival music and costume dancers and pulpit acrobatics. They're more concerned with that than with what thus saith the Lord. But regardless of people's motives, regardless of their motives, God's love and his saving grace are always here and available to welcome everyone who walks through the door. Our goal today is the same as Jesus' goal, to make disciples. We are dedicated to providing a place where anyone may come and freely receive comfort and compassion and healing for their souls. Above all else, our purpose is to preach and teach the truth solidly grounded in Holy Scripture. Then and now, God's word has the power to transform lives. But it can only transform us. It only works if we choose to obey it. Brothers and sisters, we have to choose to obey. We have to opt for obedience. A disciple decides to do what's right, even if it's unpopular or goes against the grain of the world. Obedience is a choice, and every single day we have opportunities to choose. Either we will obey or we won't. We'll either serve God or we'll serve the enemy. There is no middle ground, and the choice is yours. No, not everyone in the crowd following Jesus was a disciple. And no, not everyone who claims to be a believer today exhibits a disciplined Christian lifestyle. Oh, it got kind of quiet in here. And not everyone who claims to be a believer today exhibits a disciplined Christian lifestyle. But for true disciples, for those who embrace righteous living, lifetimes and lifestyles defined by thoughts, words, and deeds which are pleasing to God, the relentless transformation of our very being, one day, one moment at a time, depends upon a foundation of obedience. It rests on that foundation of obedience. My second point. Point two is obedience requires hard work. Obedience requires hard work. Jesus said, those who hear my words and put them into practice are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Let's unpack those two verses a little bit. First of all, when Jesus said, those who hear my words and put them into practice, he's talking about what? He obviously meant people who are obedient, right? In other words, obedient folks or disciples are like someone building a house and digging down deep and laying that foundation on the rocks. Now, anybody who's ever had to dig a large hole or a pit for a swimming pool or a tunnel or what have you, anybody knows that that's some hard work. To be sure, whenever somebody puts a pick or a shovel in your hands and says, have at it, you can count on some awkward positions, some sweating, some grunting, and some very sore, tired muscles for many days. Therefore, digging an opening big enough for a home foundation and one that's deep enough to hit bedrock absolutely suggests toil and effort over many days, right? Sounds a lot like construction work in Columbus, Ohio, doesn't it? So the crux of these two verses is this. Obedience means being ready and willing to put in tough daily labor over the long haul. Jesus was saying that being obedient The essence of discipleship is not easy. To the contrary, obedience is both difficult and long-term. In short, obedience requires hard work. No doubt, some of you are asking yourselves, what does our obedience look like? Or how does it play out in our lives? Excellent question. I'm glad you asked. First, to obey God, we have to know what His rules or commands are. To obey God, we have to know what His commands are, and where do we find His commandments? That's a rhetorical question. Where do we find His commandments? Of course, we find them in His Word. The letter that James wrote, James' letter puts it simply yet beautifully when he says, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the Word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James wrote that we must be not just hearers, but doers of the word. Not just hearers, but doers of God's word. He said that we have to put His words, Jesus said that we have to put His words into practice. Now, no one can either be a doer or put into practice what they haven't heard or read and understood, right? I can't put it into practice. I can't do it unless I've heard it or read it and then understood what it means. So it's incumbent upon every believer to hear the word, to clearly understand it, and then to apply it in our daily lives. That is, to live in obedience. As disciples, we hear the word by coming to church for preaching and for teaching. And we set aside time in each day to prayerfully read, study, and to meditate on the scriptures. This is what leads to increased understanding of the Bible. Finally, we apply biblical principles to our daily lives through the choices we make each and every single day. Whether at home, at work, at school, at play, at church, wherever we go, Christ's disciples choose the hard work of living in obedience to God's word, period. Disciples choose the hard work of living in obedience to the word, period, end of statement. Will we always succeed in obeying? Absolutely not. If we were always obedient, we'd be perfect. And I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but there was only one perfect being, and He was the Son of God. We are human. We're all human, and as humans, we stumble, we fall, we err, we sin, we make bad choices, and sometimes we suffer the tough consequences of our choices. But thanks be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Our Lord is always there to catch us when we stumble, to lift us up when we fall, to correct us when we err, to forgive us when we sin, and most of all, to teach us, often through those very painful consequences, to teach us exactly what it means to obey His commandments. A wise person once said, poor judgment leads to consequences, and consequences lead to experience, and experience leads to good judgment. My mother used to say to me, experience is a cruel but very effective teacher. And you know, the older I get, the better I understand her words. The older I get, the better I understand what she meant by experience is a cruel but very effective teacher. You know why? Why? It's because I've had plenty of experiences. Some of them not so good, but they certainly taught me things. Experience is a cruel but effective teacher. Thankfully, we as Christians have the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, enabling us to avoid experiencing the consequences of poor judgment in the first place. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, our comforter, our counselor, and our conscience. He helps us to live in obedience. Jesus told his disciples, "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, one who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. So we demonstrate our love for God through our obedience. We demonstrate our love for God through our obedience. If you love me, obey my commands. And like any loving relationship, take marriage, for example. Like any loving relationship, it involves making good choices. Loving your husband or your wife involves making some sacrifices. Love takes effort each and every day. Loving your wife means putting her feelings or her wishes ahead of your own. Love means showing her rather than just telling her. And loving the Lord is no different. Loving God is no different. Showing God our love by our obedience requires hard work. In verse 48, Jesus goes on to say, "When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built." The torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. Jesus was telling his disciples to expect some storms. He was saying that obedience is not going to be an easy path to take. When your spiritual house is founded on rock, you will face suffering in the form of storms and floods and torrents. Now, that word torrent, what is a torrent? On the website of dictionary.com, we find this definition. Definition one says, a stream of water flowing with great rapidity and violence. Two, second definition of torrent, a rushing, violent, or abundant and unceasing stream of anything as a torrent of lava. Verse three, or definition three, a violent downpour of rain. And fourth and finally, a violent, tumultuous, or overwhelming flow, a torrent of abuse. Four definitions of the word torrent. Now, I believe that Jesus envisioned all four of those definitions when he said, when a flood came, the torrent struck the house. If you're thinking your life of obedience or obedient love for God is going to be a piece of cake, a walk in the park, I urge you to think again. Jesus said, expect a torrent. Expect a torrent. Not just a spring shower, not a little summer rain, but a torrent, a torrential downpour, a deluge, a violent downpour of rain, a tumultuous and overwhelming flow. That's what we need to expect. Jesus makes it clear that obedient folks should expect a tumultuous and overflowing flow of suffering. Expect hardship. Expect to lose your job. Expect financial struggles to the point where you may not know how you're going to pay your rent or mortgage this month. Expect to get talked about behind your back. Expect to be called a Jesus freak. Expect a boss that is a complete jerk. Expect persecution. Expect sickness and cancer and diabetes and heart disease and stroke and Alzheimer's and gout and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and excruciating pain. Disciples should expect trial, tribulation, persecution, and misfortune. Expect things to happen that you just didn't see coming. Expect some torrents that will completely overwhelm you, and you just know that you're not going to make it. Expect to feel like you're drowning in circumstances and you have no idea why. Expect a torrent. Jesus said to expect a torrent. Now, if anybody out there is thinking, Brother Larry, I didn't sign up for all that. I understand completely. I understand completely. Believe me, I feel your pain. But the point remains, obedience requires hard work. My third and final point. Third point is, the rewards of obedience outweigh the effort. The rewards of obedience far outweigh the effort. At the end of verse 48, Jesus picks them up from the torrent and says, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. The most important thing I pray that you take away from this message today is, through your obedience comes the strength to withstand the torrent. Through your obedience comes the strength to withstand the torrent. When disciples obey God's commands, he blesses us with divine grace and power to endure the suffering. The Apostle Paul, who suffered more than his share of torrents, both literal and otherwise, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, wrote, I know how to live in poverty or prosperity. No matter what the situation, I've learned the secret of how to live when I'm full or when I'm hungry, when I have too much or when I have too little. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul understood the great reward of obedience. He knew that if he could just continue to obey, to steadfastly submit to God's will, no matter how bleak or how desperate the situation may appear, that the Lord would work things out for his good. And he did so for the apostle time after time after time and time again. My friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that the same God who worked in Paul's day is still on the throne today. The same God that was working it out in biblical times can work it out for you no matter what your torrent is right now. How many know a song by Ty Tribbett that says, if he did it before, he can do it again. If he did it before, he can do it again. If God worked it out for Paul and for Peter and John, for Jonah and Hosea and Daniel, for Elijah and Moses and Joseph, if he worked it out for Jacob and Isaac and Abraham and everybody else in the Bible days, I know he will work it out for you right here and right now. The song says, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. So God is neither surprised nor restricted by our torrents. He's not surprised and he's not limited by our torrents. He told us to expect them. He just wants some disciples, some folks who will obey during the torrent. Some obedient folks who will hold on through the storm for just a little while so he can work it out. The songwriter said, there will be glory after this. After this mess that I'm in right now, there's going to be some glory. God's going to get glory out of my life even though I can't pay my rent right now. But he's still going to get the glory if I just hold on and can be obedient. He's still going to get the glory after this is over. So don't you give up. Don't you give out. Don't you give in. I know the torrent seems overwhelming. I know the skies look dark and the clouds are heavy and gray. I know the storms are beating against your house and even the very foundation is shaking. And sometimes you wonder if the walls of your spiritual home are going to come crashing in on you. But you just keep on praying. Just keep on fasting. Just keep on reading your Bible every day. Keep on giving and keep on praising him. Keep on thanking him. Keep on coming to church. Keep on testifying about his goodness, even in the midst of your torrents. Keep on crying out to God. Keep on being humble and keep on being kind. And keep on loving the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Keep on loving your neighbor as yourself. You just keep on keeping on because God knows who you are and he knows whose you are. You are his child. You are his child. You're the son or the daughter of Almighty God who created the entire universe. And you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are bound for heaven where there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a room waiting in the palace just for you. He's already prepared it. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And your eternal reservation is already confirmed and paid in full through the blood of Jesus Christ. Antioch, God surely sees you in your torrent, and he will reward your obedience. He will reward your obedience. Oh, folks, if you've been waiting for an opportunity to shout hallelujah and give God some praise, then this is your moment. Give him some praise. He will reward your obedience. Yes, not everyone following Jesus is a disciple, but you are, or you can be if you choose to obey. Yes, obedience requires hard work, but the rewards far outweigh the effort. Those rewards begin here and now, but they transcend through our lives and throughout all eternity. That's the kind of reward I'm looking forward to, amen? Anybody else want to get that reward, that eternal reward? That reward that goes through all our torrents and all of our pain and all of our struggle and takes you on to glory, where streets are paved with gold and the walls are made of jasper and there's 12 gates and a crystal river runs through it. Oh, that's what I'm looking for. That's where I'm looking to go. There might be a torrent now, but there is sunshine and light and beauty and the light of Christ. There'll be no need for sun because the light of God will shine through it. That's where I'm looking to go. Torrents will be over. Torrents will be over. So here are five words as I conclude. Here are five words to help you remember your foundation of obedience. First word is study. 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 Read, understand, and meditate on the scriptures. I'm hoping Derek is with me. First word is study. Okay. Second word, humility. Complete submission to God's will. Third is attitude. Determined and focused and committed to pleasing God. Got to have the right attitude to be obedient. Amen. Fourth word is passion. Unwavering desire. Steadfast desire to follow Christ. And finally, E is effort. It takes effort to remain steadfast until the end. So as I conclude this morning, and as our counselors come forward, I leave you with this question. Is your spiritual house in good shape? Is your spiritual house in good shape? God bless you, Antioch. And the peace of the Lord be always with you.